Today is the 14th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's wonderful to be here with you today as we gather, move into this week, step forward, and reveal God through the stories that we are telling with our lives. And so let's move into our reading for today as we look into the lives of those who told God's story before us. Today, our journey leads us back into the book of Nehemiah, where we are traveling alongside the returned exiles who are rebuilding in Jerusalem. Today, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, verse 21. All the people gathered together in the plaza which was in front of the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which included men and women and all those able to understand what they heard. This happened on the first day of the seventh month. So he read it before the plaza in front of the water gate from dawn till noon, before the men and women and those children who could understand. All the people were eager to hear the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a towering wooden platform constructed for this purpose. Standing near him on his right were Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. On his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Melchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in plain view of all the people, for he was elevated above all the people. When he opened the book, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people replied, "Amen, amen," as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Odiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pedaiah, all of whom were Levites, were teaching the people the law as the people remained standing. They read from the book of God's law, explaining it and imparting insight. Thus, the people gained understanding from what was read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priestly scribe, and the Levites who were imparting understanding to the people, said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping when they heard the words of the law. He said to them, "Go and eat delicacies and drink sweet drinks and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Then the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not grieve." So all the people departed to eat and drink and to share their food with others and to enjoy tremendous joy, for they had gained insight in the matters that had been made known to them. On the second day of the month, the family leaders met with Ezra the scribe, together with all the people, the priests, and the Levites, to consider the words of the law. They discovered written in the law that the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should make a proclamation and disseminate this message in all their cities and in Jerusalem. "Go to the hill country and bring back olive branches and branches of wild olive trees, myrtle trees, date palms, and other leafy trees to construct temporary shelters as it is written." So the people went out and brought these things back and constructed temporary shelters for themselves, each on his roof and in his courtyard and in the courtyards of the temple of God and in the plaza of the water gate and the plaza of the Ephraim gate. So all the assembly which had returned from the exile constructed temporary shelters and lived in them. The Israelites had not done so from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. Everyone experienced very great joy, Ezra read in the book of the law of God day by day, from the first day to the last. They observed the festival for 7 days, and on the 8th day they held an assembly as was required. On the 24th day of this same month, the Israelites assembled. They were fasting and wearing sackcloth, their heads covered with dust. Those truly of Israelite descent separated from all the foreigners, standing and confessing their sins and the iniquities of their ancestors. For 1/4 of the day they stood in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God. And for another 1/4 they were confessing their sins and worshiping the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Benui, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kenani stood on the steps and called out loudly to the Lord their God. The Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God. May you be blessed, O Lord our God, from age to age. May your glorious name be blessed. May it be lifted up above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, along with all their multitude of stars, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You impart life to them all, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him forth from Ur of the Chaldeans. You changed his name to Abraham. When you perceived that his heart was faithful toward you, you established a covenant with him to give his descendants the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites. You have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed awesome signs against Pharaoh, against his servants, and against all the people of his land, for you knew that the Egyptians had acted presumptuously against them. You made for yourself a name that is celebrated to this day. You split the sea before them, and they crossed through the sea on dry ground. But you threw their pursuers into the depths, like a stone into surging waters. You guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and with a pillar of fire by night to illuminate for them the path they were to travel. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You provided them with just judgments, true laws, and good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath. You issued commandments, statutes, and laws to them through Moses your servant. You provided bread from heaven for them in their time of hunger, and you brought forth water from the rock for them in their time of thirst. You told them to enter in order to possess the land that you had sworn to give them. But they, our ancestors, behaved presumptuously. They rebelled and did not obey your commandments. They refused to obey and did not recall your miracles that you had performed among them. Instead, they rebelled and appointed a leader to return to their bondage in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and unfailing in your loyal love. You did not abandon them, even when they made a cast image of a calf for themselves and said, 'This is your God who brought you up from Egypt,' or when they committed atrocious blasphemies. Due to your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not stop guiding them in the path by day, nor did the pillar of fire stop illuminating for them by night the path on which they should travel. You imparted your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You provided water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them. Even in the wilderness, they never lacked anything. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. First Corinthians 9, 1 through 18. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you. For you are the confirming sign of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who examine me. Do we not have the right to financial support? Do we not have the right to the company of a believing wife, like the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I lack the right not to work? Whoever serves in the army at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not consume its milk? Am I saying these things only on the basis of common sense? Or does the law not say this as well? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." God is not concerned here about oxen, is he? Or is he not surely speaking for our benefit? It was written for us, because the one plowing and threshing ought to work in hope of enjoying the harvest. If we sowed spiritual blessings among you, is it too much to reap material things from you? If others receive this right from you, are we not more deserving? But we have not made use of this right. Instead, we endure everything so that we may not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple eat food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar receive a part of the offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel to receive their living by the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing these things so that something will be done for me. In fact, it would be better for me to die than no one will deprive me of my reason for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason for boasting, because I am compelled to do this. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, I am entrusted with a responsibility. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights in the gospel. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. How blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen to be his special possession. The Lord watches from heaven. He sees all people. From the place where he lives, he looks carefully at all the earth's inhabitants. He is the one who forms every human heart and takes note of all their actions. No king is delivered by his vast army. A warrior is not saved by his great might. A horse disappoints those who trust in it for victory. Despite its great strength, it cannot deliver. Look, the Lord takes notice of his loyal followers, those who wait for him to demonstrate his faithfulness by saving their lives from death and sustaining them during times of famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our deliverer and shield, for our hearts rejoice in him, for we trust in his holy name. May we experience your faithfulness, O Lord, for we wait for you. Proverbs 21, 11 and 12. When a scorner is punished, the naive becomes wise. when a wise person is instructed, he gains knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He overthrows the wicked to their ruin. Okay, a couple of things for us to look at from our reading today. In Nehemiah, the wall now, this dream that became a vision, that became a plan, that faced all kinds of obstacles and opposition, has now become a real thing. There's a wall. And then we watch Nehemiah kind of gather all of the genealogical records of the people that had come back from exile, and he called this massive assembly before the Lord. And so, as we read today, there was this platform built, and the Mosaic Law was read in everyone's hearing, and the Levites were out among the people explaining what the people were hearing. And so they got to this part where the Festival of Booths was to be observed, and so they went and got tree branches and stuff, and they made these tents, because this festival was to commemorate and celebrate their liberation from Egyptian slavery, and to recommit themselves before God in utter dependence. And so for a week they observed this festival at the temple, which has led them into this collective confessional prayer that we are now in the middle of, and we'll continue tomorrow. In 1 Corinthians, we have an issue here that is still with us today, and that we deal with pretty much every day, and it can get us into a lot of trouble if we're not paying attention, and it can cause tremendous destruction. And so from reading in 1 Corinthians, we can see that there were people saying things about Paul, and these claims added up to the idea that Paul was exploiting the people for his own advantage financially. And so Paul defends himself by defending the concept. He's like, do we not have the right to stay in your homes and share your meals when we're there ministering? Do we not have the right to bring a believing wife with us? The other apostles are allowed to do this. Peter does this. Is it just me and Barnabas that aren't allowed? And then he explained that those who are in spiritual service, who are serving God's people because God instructed or assigned them to the task, they deserve to be able to live. The work is hard, and it's for the sake of others, and it's completely honorable to be supported that way. However, and that's a big thing, however, comma, that's not what Paul had been doing. The accusations were exasperating because Paul wasn't taking anybody's money. Paul says, and I quote, "What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel free of charge and so not make full use of my rights in the gospel." So what we're looking at here is an accusation against Paul that is entirely based on assumption and does not have truth in it. So stories are being told about Paul that go to Paul's character and enlighten understanding of Paul's character. It's just that they're not true. They're based on assumption. And that behavior is very much alive and well in the world today. We create assumptions about our spiritual leaders, about our political leaders, about influential creative voices, and about the person who seemingly can't control their children in the checkout line in front of us at the grocery store. The Bible itself is full of stories of people who faced false assumptions about them, like Joseph, who was assumed to be an arrogant little dreamer, or Moses, who was assumed to be a lot of things during his leadership of the children of Israel. Think of David and the false assumptions that had embedded themselves in Saul's mind as he tried to kill David. So many of David's psalms plead to God to reveal the truth of his innocence and defeat the lies and assumptions that were being said about him. Prophets like Jeremiah faced all kinds of false assumptions In fact, all of the prophets faced this kind of treatment. Jesus often faced false assumptions. Things like he throws out demons by the power of the devil. And so here we are today in 1 Corinthians, and Paul's dealing with this. So here's the problem. We are willing to invent realities about people we don't even know, maybe have never even met, or maybe only know through brief encounters, or maybe we've created a reality or an assumption about a person that we've spent 20 minutes with. But when we flesh out those assumptions and live into them as if they are a reality, and then dispense the information, dispense it as reality, then we are creating false realities. We don't know all that we think that we know. Think about what it would be like to have your life told through a fragmentary conversation that was taken out of context and was told from a season in your life that you are not in anymore. And that is dispensed as a representation of who you are. Some of us can get angry just thinking about that concept because the information isn't complete. All the gaps are filled in with fabrications. And this can be tremendously harmful, especially in our faith communities. And so let's give it some thought today. Let's invite God's Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth in this area. And it's easy enough to catch ourselves. It's easy enough to simply ask, do I know this or do I think this? Maybe I don't know all that I think that I know about this or about them. And Holy Spirit, come into this. We are a people that need to make things make sense. We need to look out in front of us and believe that we are seeing a reality that is sure-footed and that we can navigate in. And so we are willing to take leaps of assumption about people. We're just not very good at assuming. But you actually know the truth. And you have not withheld yourself from us. And so we are leaning into our own understanding. And it creates all kinds of havoc in all kinds of ways. When you have never been absent, and you are available, and we can lean into your understanding and have the mind of Christ. And so come, Holy Spirit. This is an area that we need to experience profound change. Change us, O God. We open ourselves to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. And that is the website. And that's where you can find out what's happening around here. And so indeed do that. And alternatively, you can grab the Daily Audio Bible app from the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you can download it free from there. And it puts everything in the palm of your hand, so check it out. And while you're checking out, check out the community section. This is where we can get connected. This is where different links to social media are. This is where the prayer wall is, which is a resource available to we who are here around the global campfire. We always have a place to go because sometimes the bottom falls out and we weren't ready and we didn't see it coming. And we don't know where to turn. And there's always a place. The prayer wall is here. We can always reach out and ask for prayer. And we can always come back and in gratitude express our thanks and pray for those brothers and sisters who are all around us who are also struggling, because we are all struggling, friends, in one way or another. That's kind of how this life goes, and we have each other as a gift, and we have our Savior to be our shepherd, and so the prayer wall works like that. So check that out, and if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, If this mission to keep reading the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around that so that we know we're not alone. If that matters to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Dad family, it's James in L.A. Responding to Winter's prayer request from August 8th. Winter, you sound so tired and so beat down, and I can completely identify. Not at this exact moment, but I've been there so many times. First of all, you've come to the body of Christ. You're not going to get comfort from the world. You're not going to get comfort from the people of the world. You're not going to get comfort from the enemy, except for things that distract you from Jesus. Not that you're doing that, but yeah, I want to come together with all of us brothers and sisters here as the body of Christ, to give you comfort in Christ. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, all the pain and travails that we go through, and he said he felt like he'd been sentenced to death, was for the sake of giving comfort to others later. Christ's comfort that allowed him to escape, that allowed him to survive. So I'm asking Jesus for that, and I'm asking for him to send brothers and sisters your way, online, virtually, in person, to come around you, surround you, give you community. We die when we are not connected. Just like a hand or a foot that's severed does not live. So I pray for your life in Christ Jesus to be restored through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, this is Heather in Kentucky. I wanted to reach out to Patrick in Northern Nevada. Patrick, I heard your prayer request for your sister-in-law, your brother, and their children on July 30th, and I wanted you to know that I've been praying since then. And Patrick, your prayer request really resonated with me because my sister-in-law is also losing her battle to cancer right now, and she has 6 children with my brother, Keith, and it's just been devastating. And I just want to pray for you and ask for prayer for Keith and Melanie, my family, as well. So, Lord, we come to you knowing you are a provider, and I ask you to provide physical needs, provide emotional needs and spiritual needs as these families are going through this loss. Lord, you are a comforter, so I pray, Lord, you comfort us and all of the people just so near to the situations with your comfort, Lord. We trust you with that. Lord, I pray that you would just send women to the children who are losing their mom, not for a literal mother that could never be replaced, but Lord, just to love these children with a motherly love. Lord, we just know you are in control, even if we cannot understand. And so we are not looking with our physical eyes to understand, but with spiritual eyes, we trust you. We cast our cares on you, knowing you care for us. I love you all, and I will continue to pray. Bye-bye.
Hi, DAB family. It's so hard to keep these recordings short and sweet for me. Second attempt here. I'm going to go by Christine for Christ in North Carolina. And my prayer request, I have a prayer request today that just came to me as our family is on vacation at a spot that we've been to a few times. And I just found it interesting that this prayer request came up because it doesn't have to do with something that's currently going on or that I'm currently struggling with, but something that is yet to be, something in the future that I feel like is coming up for me as maybe like a sense from God, like a tug, like a forecast, like this is potential kind of waiting to be realized. And I would like to ask for prayer around it. So currently, you know, I have been at home with our five children, and my husband has always been the one off at work, and our lives just feel like they're completely separate from one another. Although we have this big family that brings us together, like in the day-to-day, like we're all just kind of split apart. But our hearts have never really been satisfied with that. And we've always been longing to want to work together and do more together as a family. So if you could pray around this, I know it's a little bit ambiguous, but it has to do with our family, especially my husband and I coming together as work partners and our family coming together and potentially relocating somewhat down the road to a place.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ryan. I live in Indiana. I admit that pride and ego have kind of gotten in the way of me asking for these requests before now, but my request is this. A few months ago, I lost my job unexpectedly. I decided to take a little bit of a hiatus to figure things out. Luckily and unfortunately, I have a wonderful wife that's been very supportive, and it's allowed me to take a little extra time in doing that. I'm a nurse. I'm in the healthcare field, so it would be very easy to go back down that same road with plenty of opportunity. So it's not for lack of opportunity, but just I've always felt like maybe God had another purpose for me, another calling. And I can't put my finger on it. I cannot figure it out. And I'm at the stage where I feel desperate. I feel like I've asked God, and I don't hear him. I don't see what he's trying to orchestrate. I can look backwards and see the many times he's brought me through. So I know he's there. I guess I'm feeling the anxiety build up as more time passes that I don't have clear answers. And, you know, being a father, being a husband, I just want to be able to provide and not feel like I don't have it figured out. So I just ask for your prayers that I will get clarity, that the devil will not win, the Lord will be victorious. And I thank you all for your time, and I look forward to hearing your prayer requests. Have a blessed day.